good evening, everybody. And I think, three people said, the same thing. When you get to know Christ, when you get to know God, and you know who He is as a Father and as a Savior, it makes the trials and the tough times a little bit more endurable. You know, they're tough going through at the time, but when you recognize God for who He says He is and who He is, the trials can be worth it, because it come out on the other end as a testimony of how good God actually is, even when we're not, especially when we're not. And I'm glad that we serve a God like that tonight. I want to talk about goals tonight. Now, by show of hands, how many of you guys have personal goals that you're working towards? Yeah, the majority of us. The majority of us do, and we should. One of the goals that Ashley and I are working towards is every Saturday in May has been taken up by ripping up the carpet in our bedroom. And Larry is awesome. If you guys don't know Larry, he's a real friend. He's a real brother in Christ, and he's real good with his hands. God has blessed him with being able to do pretty much anything. And so we have this goal to rip up our carpet. We have a baby on the way, and you wouldn't believe how much dog hair could get trapped in this much carpet. So we figured as a baby's on the way, if we can rip up that carpet and lay down the flooring, it's going to be a lot better for allergies and whatnot. So our goal is to finish it. Larry said, "You got me every day, every Saturday in May." So 2 weeks ago, we were able to rip up the carpet in the two front rooms and get the flooring laid, and that was about 10 and a half hours, and that was brutal. Not used to that work. My knees hurt, my back hurt, my neck hurt. But we got that. We almost got those rooms done. Last week, we spent time ripping up the carpet in our master, and we got the flooring laid, we got the trim, and that bedroom was finished. This week, and it's going to be the last week because we're going on vacation, is we got to lay the trim in the other rooms, and we got to rip up the carpet in our closet and lay the trim there, and then we're going to be done. And so the goal is to get it done in May. But the thing about goals is there's always something that pops up. There's always a reason why the goal that you had in mind doesn't get met, doesn't happen. And that is the same thing for our Christian walk. You know, I believe that as believers, as Christians, our goal should be to know Christ better every single day, to know His love, to know His character, to know His sovereignty, to know His word, to know His joy, to know all of these things. And I think if we can expect hiccups or hindrances in the goals that we set personally, we can expect spiritual hiccups as it pertains to things of God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Some of the hiccups or hindrances that happen when we have this goal of growing in Christ. And so I want to look at two factors for what could be causing the hiccups that, you know, if we have the goal of Christ is going to do, and we're going to learn more about Christ, and we're going to do what God wants us to do. I want to look at two factors that could be causing a road bump, a speed bump, and then also three ways to help us draw closer to Him and know Him better and do those types of things. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Philippians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. So we're going to break it down a little bit, spend a lot of time really in the middle of the text and figure out what God's Word says. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh." Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put our confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more." Verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born among Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless." Verse 7, But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of Him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ. Verse 9 says, "And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. He says in verse 10, my goal is to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we pray that as we commit these next few moments to you, God, that you would speak to us through your word, Lord, that we would be present while we're here, Lord, that we would not worry about the things that are outside this place right now, Lord, the things that we have to tend to, the things that we have to do after this, God, but we would lean into you, God, that we would focus on things of the Spirit tonight. Lord, we ask a blessing on this service, God, and may your word be blessed. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul starts this chapter. He says, in addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. What I love about this is he's encouraging us to rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say be happy about everything that's going on. He's saying regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what they are, whether they're good or they're bad, rejoice in the Lord. Pastor Adrian Rogers, I was listening to one of his sermons, and he said, I don't quite care about being happy. He said, because happy relies on what happens. He says, I would much rather be joyful because it doesn't matter what happens, I can still experience and go through this joy. Happiness and joy are not the same things. And Paul is saying, regardless of what you are going through, rejoice in the Lord. There's always something to be joyful about. There's always something that we can rejoice in the Lord about. The hard times, God, you pulled me out of this. The tough times, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to do this. So he says, rejoice in the Lord. I think what's important to keep our eye on is what he said in verse 10. I'm going to jump down to verse 10 for just a second. And this is Paul's goal, his whole ministry. My goal is to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul's goal was to focus on spiritual things, to focus on his relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ so that he could be an effective tool as he traveled across Asia and his missions. He's encouraging them because what he says in verse 2, and when our goal is to grow in Christ and to know Christ deeper, better, and to love like him deeper and better, we can expect opposition. And something that can make us take our eyes off of that goal and knowing and growing and walking with Christ is what he warns here in verse 2. He says, watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. See, the Philippian church had a problem with multiple people. The dogs and the evil workers, these were people who were ungodly. They didn't have anything spiritual in their lives. They didn't quite care for Christ. They didn't care for the church. They didn't care for anything spiritually. And then also he says, for those who mutilate the flesh, these were the religious folks, Judaizers. They were the ones who were telling the Christians that in order to be a Christian, in order to be saved, you have to be circumcised. And it's the only way to be a real Christian. And it was starting to take their eyes off of their walk with Christ, they're knowing Christ, all the things that Paul had written to them, all the things that he had taught while he was there, they were starting to shift their view. Paul says, watch out for these people. So the first factor that can pull us away from our walk with Christ are external factors. These things had everything to do with the area around the church at Philippi. It had everything to do with the people around. It had nothing to do internally. So the first factor is external factors, false teachers. That was the thing for them. And the problem is, when you begin to listen to the religious folks and the people who don't have Christ at the center of their life and their eyes aren't fixed on Christ and they don't have the same goal as you, which is to grow and walk and know Christ better, and you spend all your time with them, some of their habits, some of their beliefs, some of their ideologies, some of the ways that they think things should go can creep in. Can creep in, and before long you wonder, how did I get to where I was? Or how did I get to where I am? I was following Christ, I was doing so good, and when you took your eyes off of him, you got sidetracked and you move on from what you ought to be doing. So a question I have is, are you listening to people who aren't following the Word of God? Are you listening? Are you letting people, the world, Hollywood, whatever it is, are you letting them influence your life? And are you buying into it? Paul warns of these folks here. He says, be careful. It's a trap. It will get your eyes off of Christ. It can if you let it. And it will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. The more time we spend in the world, the more we're going to look like the world. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more, hopefully, that we're going to look like Christ. And we're going to get to know Him more. And we're going to get to understand who He is and what He wants for our lives. And let me warn you that just because somebody says something from the Bible, somebody says something that is religious, somebody says something that sounds good, doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it is intended for what God intended it for. I was talking with Eddie right before service, and 1 John chapter 4 tells us to contend against other spirits, to test out other spirits to see if they are of the same spirit. Why? Because there's people all over the place that are saying, well, this is what God said. This is what God wants. How can it be? Let's go to God's Word. Let's go to the authority in what God says in His Word. You can't trust everybody who says something that sounds good. I had a woman recently reach out to me. I went to elementary school with her, and by a mutual friend, asked if she could, you know, message me on Facebook and friend me on Facebook, and I said, yeah. She said, the friend, not the one who I ended up talking to, but the friend said, oh, she's interested in baptism. I said, all right, yeah, let's talk about it. And so she friended me on Facebook, and we were messaging. She said, yeah, I'm interested in getting baptized, you know, this, that, and the other. And I said, great, let's talk about it. What's going on? Didn't hear from her for 2 weeks. And so I talked to the friend of the friend, and I said, hey, your friend never got back with me about being baptized. You know what she said? She said, well, she wanted to be baptized. She believes that if she's baptized, she can perform exorcisms. I said, well, if you ever talk to her again, let her know that I will not be baptizing her. Because that is not, that's not biblical. But what sounded good is, hey, Phil, I want to be baptized. Take it at face value, great. But when you know the reason, and you know the purpose, and you know the scheme behind why, a little more severe, a little more serious, and you know. So our spirits did not match up. What she said sounded good at face value, but what God's Word says was completely different. Which goes to show you, you cannot allow people to... You can't allow the wrong people to speak into your life. Well, you say, well, how do you know if they're the wrong people? How do you know? Well, if you're in His Word and you're seeking, and your goal is to know Christ and to be better about following Him and to be more conformed to the image of His Son, the Holy Spirit's going to raise up a red flag and say, "This, watch this one. Be careful. It sounds good. Your ears might be itching." And that's why it sounds good. So we've got to make sure that we're lining up with the authority. Otherwise, these things can creep in. And also, just another thing is, as far as external factors go, I've talked to many Christians that have told me, that have given me advice about how to be a Christian. And I've gotten advice as, you know, you don't have to go to church. You know, you don't have to read the Bible every day. You know, God understands that. I've heard a Christian tell me that as they cussed in their prayer that, oh no, God understands me. That's how me and him talk. Well, I don't quite know if you know the holy God that you're coming to with these prayer requests. But these are the things that are out there. And these are all external factors that can pull us away from our walk and our desire and our want to grow biblically in Christ Jesus. So be careful who you let speak into your life. Paul goes on in verses 4 through 6. He says, although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born among Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. You say, that all sounds good. All of those things are great. All of these things are fantastic. You know, Paul, he's saying, if you think that you're going to be confident in the flesh and do what you want to do, he said, I was the best at it. He says, I was that dude. You had a question about the scriptures? I knew everything about it. Oh, you want a clean bloodline? That's me. Oh, did I know the scripture? Yeah, I was a Pharisee. I was set aside. I was better than everybody. And when it came to the law, I was blameless. Y'all couldn't hold a fire to me. That's what Paul's saying. I was the best of the best of the best. But that's where he messed up, because that's the second factor that can pull our eyes away from Christ. And that is those internal factors, those me things. When we believe that we can do things without Christ, and that we can be the Christian that doesn't need Christ and we're going to figure it out on our own. When we have the attitude of, I can be the Christian that God wants me to become without Christ, I want to take a step back and say, does that goal I have of being Christ-like, does that match up with what God says? So we have external factors, then we have these internal factors, and I believe that these are more likely what pop up in our lives and what pull us away is when our pride kicks in, when our arrogance kicks in, when we say, I'm going to do what I want to do because I think this is what God wants, or I don't know what God wants, but he didn't tell me no, so I'm going to take that as a yes, and I'm going to do it anyways because that's what I wanted to do in the first place. And so, the Christian who could do it without Christ, the Christian who hasn't been praying for weeks, the Christian who hasn't been reading for months, and the Christian who hasn't been coming to the church for years, you're telling me that you can become the Christian that God wants you to be, and you don't even know what His Word says about how to do it. That doesn't make any sense. But we can, and by the way, just as a side note, I don't know if you guys know this about yourselves, but I know it about me, and that I can make my lies believable. I can make things sound real good. It's like, yeah, I guess I don't need to go to church today. Yeah, I guess I don't need to pray tonight. Yeah, I guess I don't need to get in God's Word. He understands. And what does that do? It takes our eyes off the goal of knowing who Christ is better, understanding what He wants for our lives, and we are really good at making things up and believing it. We're the best at it. And we do so often. We get something in our head and that's what we want and that's what we're going to do. And nobody's going to tell me otherwise. Even if God says no, we say, well, are you sure that was a no? I heard a maybe in that. And we run with that maybe that never existed, and we get ourselves down this hole and we wonder how we got there. You can't be the Christian God wants you to be without getting in His Word and figuring out who He wants you to be. You can't do it on your own. You never can, you never could, you never will be able to. In verse 7, this is where Paul had this revelation after he got saved. He was doing all of these things, and he had this aha moment. And he says, but everything that was gained to me I have considered to be a loss. In verse 7 through 9, he says, all of those things, though they were good, those were good things. All of those things were great. In verse 7 through 9, he says, all of what I did up until the point of my salvation, it didn't matter. Nothing I did mattered. Why? Because it was all about me. It was all about my pedigree. It was all about my resume. It was all about what I could do to make my name better, to elevate my position, to elevate my social status, to elevate my understanding. It had nothing to do with God. And so all these religious things that Paul did looked good on paper, looked good to the world, but it pulled him further away from Christ. The things that we do in all aspects of our lives have to be drawing us closer to Christ. If we say as believers and as Christians that our goal is to be conformed to the image, that's an ongoing thing. That's sanctification. That's always going to happen. We're never going to be there. We're never going to reach it. We have to remember what the goal is every day. Every single day we have to understand what the goal is. Paul says, though those things were fantastic at the time, they mean nothing to me anymore. He says, I consider them dung so that I may gain Christ. He says, all those great things that I did, doesn't matter. And it can't matter. He says, I want to gain Christ and be found in Him, not having righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is in faith in Christ. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about learning what He wants you to do, learning what He wants from you, and conforming to that, and doing it His way, not our way. And he says in verse 10, and this is the whole crux of all of this, my goal is to know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Paul says, I want to know all about Him. He says, I want to know everything there is. And I don't want to just know of it. I want to know it. When Ashley and I were at assessment, the keynote speaker guy was telling, he said, there's a difference between knowing somebody and knowing of somebody. And he said, I was at the, I think it was like the 95 PGA Tour. And he said that Tiger Woods was up on the going to tee off. He's walking up and he said, I waved, hey Tiger, what's up? And Tiger did one of these things. Recognized him. Hey, how's it going? One of those, tipped his hat to him. And he said, man, I thought I knew Tiger Woods then. He said, man, he acknowledged me. I knew him. I knew everything about him. I knew him. I'm going to guess that Tiger Woods doesn't even remember that day. Doesn't remember that face. Doesn't remember that individual. Why? Because he didn't know him. Now, if that was Tiger Woods' kids there doing it, oh, I'm sure he would remember that because he knew them. There's a huge difference between knowing of somebody, knowing of Jesus, knowing of God, knowing of those things, and actually experiencing and knowing. He says, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I don't want to just know of Him. I don't want to say, oh yeah, I know of Jesus. He died on the cross. He died for my sins. Yeah, I heard that He was raised on the third day, and that's why we celebrate Easter. I heard that He was born on Christmas, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. He says, I want to know everything about Him, and not just the good things. He says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know that I'm alive in Christ. I want to know that the decision that I made matches up with what God's Word says, and that because of His death on the cross, because of His resurrection, and because of my decision that I made to follow, that I too have that promise of eternal life. He says, I want to, in the fellowship of His sufferings, He says, even though, and keep in mind, Paul's writing this letter from prison. Paul's gone through so many things that none of us will ever have to have gone through. And he says, I want to know everything. He says, I count it joy when I go through the trials. Count it joy when you go through the trials, the sufferings, that he wants to experience all of it. He wants to know everything. And when you're going through those sufferings, it's an invitation to come closer to Christ. When you're going through those hardships and those hard times and the depression and the things that the weight of the world is on your shoulders, that's such an invitation for Christ saying, come to me, learn about me, walk with me. I'm here for you. My word says I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And he says, being conformed to His death, he says, the old me is gone. I don't want the old life. I don't want the old Paul. I hope you can say tonight that you don't want the old you. That you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know that what His word says, and you know that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And you got to be going and having that goal in mind, having Jesus Christ as your focal point, and not wavering, not getting off task from the external things, the world, religion, all those things, and then not having yourself sabotage it of, oh, I'm good enough, I'm better than them, my sin's not as bad, whatever it is. Focusing on Christ is huge. And so I told you that there are two factors that that can keep us away from Christ, that can divert our attention off of the goal that we have in mind. Now, I have three things that can draw us closer to Christ. And these things are super simple. And when I say them, you'll be like, yeah, we know. That's okay. I'm going to say it anyways. Number one, If the goal is to know Him and all of the things that come after Him, we can know Him through reading His Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that His Word is alive and active. If we want to know Christ as believers, we have got to get into His Word. And these are in no particular order, by the way. But we have got to get into His Word. If the authority of God and what He says and what and how He wants us to live our lives, and the truth and the promises and the what to do's and what not to do's and all of the stories and examples that we have from Him on how to live our lives, we've got to get into His Word and figure it out. If we say that our goal is to know Christ, how can we know somebody if we don't read about them, if we don't have a conversation with them, if we don't have a relationship with them? It's really hard to get to know somebody. Very hard to get to know somebody. Be in your Word. Be in His Word. Be in the Word. Take your Bibles. Read them. Get to know Christ. He's all over. And it's great. You know, Ashley and I started reading together at night. And the things that we've learned. Wow. Wow, God, that's who you were? That's who you are? That's the God we serve? And it's so cool when you get in there and the stories that you didn't know of, that you didn't see God moving, and you're like, where is He at in there? And then you read it and it just pops out. Man, that's such a blessing. And it's so cool to see the character of God through the pages of His Word. And I would highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Number two, if you say you want to know Him, you have to know Him in prayer. You've got to pray. If you look and read John chapter 17, this is before Jesus is basically killed. He's praying. He's praying for Himself. He's praying for the apostles, and He's praying for all the believers. And the prayers, the words in those prayers are so strong, and He's crying out, and He's talking to the Father. And He's saying, intercede, do this, watch over them, protect them, do these things. And it's so cool because the same God that Jesus is praying to is the same God that we serve. And if we're not praying to God, if we're not praying, we're not asking Him what we want. We're not asking Him what we need. We're not asking Him to help us out. You know, He talks to us through His Word. We talk to Him through prayer, and that's how a relationship works. It's a two-way street. But to be prayerful is extremely important. You know, if somebody says, you don't need to pray to have a relationship with God. You don't need to pray to have a relationship with God. You don't need to read to have a relationship with God. I'll tell you right now, yes, you do. At least a good one. At least a good one. If I didn't come home after work, you know, I'd still be married to Ashley. If I just wanted to, you know, do whatever I wanted to do, I'd still be married to her, but our relationship might not be that good. God wants to hear from you. He absolutely wants to hear from you. So we need to read His Word. If we want to follow Christ and we want to know Him and His power and everything that comes with it, we need to read, we need to pray, and we need to know Him through fellowship with other believers, i.e. coming to church, getting in small groups, coming to Sunday school, surrounding yourself with God's people so that they can give you godly advice on things that they perhaps have been through, that they've gone through, that they're going through, to build each other up, to encourage one another, to mourn with those who mourn, and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And when you begin to walk with other believers, you get to see how the love of Christ works. You get to see people who have given their life to Christ, even though we're not perfect, even though we mess up, even though we're sinful people. We get to see the mercy and the love come across all sorts of people. And we say, wow, God did that for you. Wow, God did that for you. Wow, God did that for you too. When we step away from the church, when we step away from meeting with other believers, when we step away from the congregation, it hurts us spiritually. And it doesn't just hurt us, it hurts the church. When you're gone, you're missed. When you're not here, We're praying about you. If you want to know Christ, you have to do all of these things. Now, there's a lot more that you can do, but these three things pretty much cover the majority of how to know Christ better. You want to know about His character? Get in His Word. You want to know about how to handle a certain situation? Get in His Word. You want to know how to handle your finances? Get in His Word. You're going through tough times? Pray. You don't know what you're going to do, what your next step is? Pray. You feel like you're going through things alone? You feel like the struggles and the heartaches are seemingly never going to end? Talk with a fellow believer. I'm sure they have sound advice, biblical advice that might help you get over the hump. Guys, the goal to know Christ is not an easy thing. And we have things coming. External factors, our internal factors, and they keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. All day, multiple times a day, every day, and it's a mix of them. But when we know Christ and we're walking with Him, we're reading, we're praying, faithful, it makes those things, those times where we're unsure, a little bit easier. I want to leave you with this. If you're struggling with your walk, if this message was for you tonight, and you say, man, it's been a while since I've prayed. It's been a while since I've came to church. It's been a while since I opened God's Word to see what He wanted for my life. Today can be the day that you turn it all around, because God misses you when you're gone. It's time to come home. So let's stand.